Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
A potential change to federal funding requirements by the Trump administration could put nearly 1,000 formerly homeless people in Nevada at risk of losing their permanent housing. That's according to analysis by the National Alliance to End Homelessness. That's because U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development announced last month new restrictions to Continuum of Care program funding, which is the largest block of federal funding states rely on to address homelessness. The rule said no more than 30% of federal grants received through the program can go toward funding permanent housing. Nevada uses an estimated $13 million in funding annually to house about 925 people. Earlier this week, the administration reversed its decision, rescinding the rule. Despite that sudden reversal, some officials and advocates around the state are worried about how the potential change could set back local efforts to curb homelessness. To dive a little deeper into his reporting is Alejo Cruz from our sister station, KUNR in Reno. Also with us is Bert Johnson. He's KUNR's senior correspondent, and he'll co-report this piece with Alejo. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
First, let's talk about where this money comes from, Alejo. How are local governments supposed to use these continuum of care dollars? You know, what are they supposed to use it for?
So continuum of cares have to adhere to kind of HUD guidelines when it comes to applying to these grants. And currently, as it stands, or the way in which we knew about this process beforehand was that, you know, they prioritize housing first models. And so when they're trying to initiate these programs or using rental assistance, they have to ensure to HUD that they're using it for housing first models. That, however, as we know, is subject to change.
So what kind of person is eligible for permanent housing assistance?
Yeah, so here we're talking about like low income renters, right? It's not as if they're just kind of like passing out housing vouchers to whoever. It's typically people that make around like 50 to 30% below the medium like pay. Mm-hmm. And those with disabilities, veterans, but then also the chronically homeless.
Okay. So this administration's approach to homelessness seems to be a significant departure from previous administrations' efforts to curb homelessness. You know, it seemed like previous administrations were very much focused on getting people into housing first, like you mentioned. You know, what is the Trump administration's goal here? You know, what are they trying to accomplish with this change?
Yeah, so it's difficult to kind of just surmise what the end goal of this might be. However, what we do know is that now we're stepping away from housing first and making it more of an individual failure is kind of the way homelessness is now being painted. Now it's sort of mental health and substance abuse seems to be what they've identified to be the root of the problem here, despite all evidence showing otherwise.
Bert, where does this ethos come from?
So this has its roots actually in Project 2025, which listeners may remember was sort of a playbook for a potential second Trump administration that was put together by the Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. Back in July, you saw an executive order come out of the Trump administration that kind of built on the original ideas from Project 2025. And in that executive order, President Trump explicitly said, we need to get rid of the housing first approach to homelessness. And we need to put a focus on things like requirements for addiction treatment, mental health treatment, including potentially involuntary commitment into inpatient medical facilities.
So let's talk about what communities are doing to prepare for a potential change. What are you hearing from them, Bert?
Essentially in Washoe County, at this point in the game, they're not 100% sure what to make of this. First of all, when these changes were announced by HUD last month, It was a sea change from how this funding had been allocated before. But the most recent update is that the HUD has withdrawn this newer guidance. So on Monday, there is going to be a hearing in a Rhode Island federal court over the new policy changes introduced by HUD. But right before the hearing could happen, the Trump administration walked back this guidance. Now, they've said they're going to release an update to the update, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they are planning to release another version of this. But for the time being, it's not clear what that's going to look like. And I've spent the week trying to reach out to advocates on the national level, trying to get a sense of what this could mean. And no one's really sure yet. So in some ways, it's just a wait and see, you know, because we were in the middle of a 2-year funding cycle already with continuum of care funding. And so it's possible that with HUD withdrawing this new guidance, it could just revert back to the status quo of that 2-year funding cycle, which is what was funding these programs like permanent supportive housing, rapid rehousing, et cetera. It's also possible that they put out another version of updated guidance before the end of the year. It's hard to say.
At this point, do we know if cities and counties can shift money around and actually shoulder the burden of these costs?
Oh, there's very little chance of that. Here in Washoe County, for instance, as we heard in Alejo's piece, the changes could result in like almost $2 million being taken out of the county's accounts. And that's just a shortfall that Washoe County wouldn't be able to shoulder on its own. I mean, local governments are already struggling with flattening revenue, increasing costs. We're already looking at budget cuts across the board on the local level. So a loss like this would be really significant.
What are you actually hearing from the people this might affect? Alejo, you talked to Dean Herman. He is somebody who's in transitional housing, was looking to get into permanent housing. You know, what are you hearing?
Yeah, so Dean and I had a very phenomenal conversation like throughout this piece, and it just sounds as if a lot of people are scared and they're worried about how they are going to be able to navigate the situation, but also like the likelihood of them falling back into homelessness also appears to have increased for them. You know, it's really, it's a slippery slope. Of something that I didn't get to mention in the piece itself was that while at Hope Springs, Dean was actually arrested for a warrant that he didn't even know he had. You know, and that almost made him put him right back to where he started. Luckily, fortunately, he wasn't, you know, that didn't happen to him. But, you know, that's the reality for a lot of Nevadans that we're seeing.
We got about 30 seconds left, Bert. Community courts have been set up across the state to sort of, you know, address these sorts of issues, homelessness, veterans crime. It sounds like those community courts aren't necessarily having the impact that a lot of folks thought they would.
Yeah, that's true. We've talked to court officials who said that the success rate just wasn't there, that people, especially those who are experiencing chronic homelessness, were not engaging with services the way that they hoped they would. And I think that just speaks to the really difficult challenge of addressing that very small subset of this population, people who have been on the street for a year or more, who are really struggling to get back on their feet.
That's all the time we have. Bert Alejo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.